Hey, I want to thank you so much for choosing to tune in and worship with us today. My name is Josh, and I'm one of the pastors here at the Dandenong Polish Church. And I just want to take a second to speak into the reality of where we're at right now. It's a sad and it's a hard and a weird time for many of us. And some of us, we'd usually be out at Big Camp at this time. We'd be out at Elmore celebrating Easter with our friends and our family out there. Or some of us usually try to get away for this weekend and enjoy a holiday. Or some of us enjoy big meals with our family. Yet the reality is we're not able to do that right now. And it's a sad and a harsh reality. And I want to say that I feel your pain, that I'm journeying with you. And as a church, we want to journey with you. And that we want to provide hope and encouragement and prayer for you during this time. And I sort of love that the message that we have to share this weekend, you know, the Easter message is such a powerful and such an important message. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus gives us hope and encouragement in a time such as this. And as I sit here and I reflect and I ponder and I think, you know, I look at the church building I'm in right now and it's empty. It's a sad reality. There's no one here. And I can't wait for the day where we get to worship again. But right now we're in this reality where the church building is empty. And it reminds me of another story where there's an empty tomb. And that empty tomb, the day the disciples went there, that was bad news for them. They didn't see it as good news, but we know as the story unfolds that it is a story of good news. In fact, it's the best news ever. The Easter story is the best news that there ever is. It's the news that something has happened in history, and as a result, the world is totally different. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus changes things. See, the empty tomb tells us a powerful story. And I love the message of Easter, yet I think so often we just focus on the death of Jesus, that we forget about the power in the resurrection of Jesus. See, if there wasn't a resurrection of Jesus, the death wouldn't mean anything. But it's the fact that Jesus came back from the dead, that he rose to life, that there is so much meaning, there is so much power, and there's a message of hope that we have to share. And see, my faith that I have is not built on just the words in Scripture. It's not just the Bible that I believe in. It's I believe in this real event that happened in history, and this event changed things. It's the event that led to the movement that created the Bible, that created all of this. It's the reason any of us are here. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. It's such a powerful moment and such a powerful event that happened in history. The event is the most important ever in not only human history, but the history of the universe. And Rick Warren has this quote. He says, 2,000 years ago in the Middle East, an event occurred that permanently changed the world. Because of the event, history was split. Every time you write a date, you're using the resurrection of Jesus as the focal point. The resurrection, the empty tomb, it tells us a powerful story. I just want to read out some lyrics from a favorite song of mine. It says, God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. An empty grave, an empty tomb is a message of hope and assurance. And it's a message that we can take out into the world. Yes, our church building may be closed, but our faith is not. And so we got a chance and opportunity to share this message with other people. Yet I want to speak into the reality that the disciples faced that day. See, for them, they didn't see hope. They didn't see encouragement. They didn't see assurance. To them, when Jesus died on the cross, when he died on Good Friday, that was the end for them. It meant Jesus had lost. The guys that, the disciples, they had followed Jesus, this really cool guy, this really cool figure, for 3 years. And that was all out the window now. They expected Jesus, you know, to lead a rebellion and to take over the Roman Empire. But that's not what Jesus had come to do. He came to establish a new kingdom, not in the way that they thought, not by military or by physical might, but by love, grace, and forgiveness. And so to see the guy that they had looked up to for 3 years to be crucified, there was a lot of anxiety in the lives of the disciples. There was a lot of fear, a lot of hopelessness. It was a tense and it was an anxious time for the disciples. And in fact, that whole weekend was such a weird time. And if you read in the gospel narratives towards the end, it sort of gives us a picture of what was happening. It's such a weird time. You know, the earth was dark. There was earthquakes. The veil tore. Rocks were being broken. And it was incredible. And it was in a frightening time. They had no idea what was happening. It was quite the ordeal and it was quite the scene. This was not normal. Something was different. It was tense and it was fearful for the disciples. There was extraordinary fear and worry and panic and so much unknown of what was happening. And this is where we pick up the story I'm about to read. And I'm going to be reading from John chapter 20. And you can read each of the gospel accounts gives us a picture of what it was like during this time. But I love the way it's described in John chapter 20. So I'm just going to read it for you here. I've got my Bible here and I'm going to be reading from John chapter 20, starting in verse 1. And I'm just going to be trying to speak into the reality of what the disciples faced that morning and that time when they went up. And so this is what it says in John chapter 20. It says, "Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, 'They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have put him.'" So they went to the tomb where Jesus had been buried, expecting to see him there dead. And yet they get there and they're confused. The Lord had been taken away. Jesus had been taken away. They thought someone had stolen the body. See, they weren't expecting resurrection. They weren't expecting Jesus to come back from the dead. So that wasn't a thing that happened. No one really believed in resurrection. And in fact, the Jewish people at the time, they believed in a resurrection, but they believed it would happen at the end of history. It's not something that would happen in the middle of history. So nobody was expecting nobody at that time. And so we come back, verse 3, it says, "So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first." And I just love this little bit here. I love the Bible because it was written by real people who had real emotions, just like you and I. And right now in John's gospel, for some reason, he has the audacity to write, and he's compelled to write that he was faster than Peter in a foot race. And I think that's just so funny and so bizarre. And I sort of think it speaks into reality when we face a hard time that we often try to compare. We try to look at others, try to find people who are worse off than us to justify ourselves. And so in this story, you know, John had to try and justify himself that he was faster, that he was better than Peter. And so we continue to read in verse 5. He says, "He bent over and looked at the strips of linen laying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen laying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who reached the tomb first," so literally three times John had to let us know that he was faster than Peter, "also went inside. He saw and believed, but they did not understand that the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying." And so this is a tense and this is a fearful time for the disciples. They didn't know what was happening. They didn't know what was unfolding. In fact, if you continue to read in John's gospel, it tells us in verse 19 that they went back to their house and that they had locked the doors behind them. And so they're in their house, locked the door behind them. They're freaking out. They're panicking because the reality is that the Jewish leaders, the Roman guards and soldiers could be coming for them at any moment and they too could be killed. And so it's such a tense and fearful time. There's a lot of panic and unknown and a lot of worry for them. And they didn't know what was happening. They didn't know what was unfolding. In Luke 24, it says that Peter got to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the stripes of linen laying there. And he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. And so the disciples were confused. They were anxious. They were worried. They were nervous. They were having a wide range of emotions. See, the disciples, they didn't believe. They doubted. They thought Jesus was dead, that this was it, this was the end. But I love the rest of this story as we continue to read John chapter 20, the way in which it unfolds, that Jesus comes to them, Jesus comforts them, Jesus encourages them. And the resurrection, the fact that the tomb was empty, ended up changing everything for them. And so as we continue to read in verse 11, it says, "Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They have taken away my Lord,' she said, 'and I don't know where they have put him.' At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?' Thinking he was the gardener, she said, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, 'Rabboni,' which means 'teacher.' Jesus said, 'Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father to my God and your God.' Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, 'I have seen the Lord,' and she told them that he had said these things to her." Verse 19, "On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you.' And with that, he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven.'" And I love that scene that Jesus came to them. Jesus comforted them. Jesus encouraged them. Jesus said, "Hey, peace be with you. I'm with you. I am for you. Hey, it's okay, those feelings that you're feeling. It's okay. I'm here now." And he encouraged them. He spent time with them. And in this moment, he's equipping them and empowering them to then go out. And it's the fact that the resurrection reframed everything for them. It gave them hope, assurance, and confidence to then go out and take that message. See, the empty tomb changed the way they thought and felt about everything. See, Peter went from being a coward. In fact, you know, we read that he denied Jesus three times. He said he wouldn't. He said he wouldn't deny Jesus. And all it took was a teenage schoolgirl to question and say, "Hey, you were associated with Jesus." And he squealed, he freaked out, and he denied that he had seen Jesus. But the fact that Jesus showed up to him, that Jesus rose from the dead and comforted them and counseled him and equipped and empowered him, gave him hope. Gave him reassurance, and Peter went from being one of the, Peter went on to be one of the most courageous leaders of the New Testament church, because he had allowed the story of the empty tomb to reframe the way he thought and felt about everything. See, we know God is for us because Jesus died for us, not because things work out for us. See, so often we think that if we follow Jesus, that life will be good, that life will be perfect. Well, that is far from it. In fact, from here on in, the disciples, the followers of Jesus, they faced hard times. They faced persecution. But it was the fact that they had the message of the resurrection, the message of hope, that they were able to go out into the world and face whatever fear, face whatever battle that they had, because the empty tomb reframed the way they thought and felt about everything. See, suffering is not the evidence of God's absence. These guys maintained faith in the midst of such hard, difficult, and challenging times. See, the resurrection really did change everything for them. It changed the cross from a tragedy into a triumph. It reframed everything. See, the resurrection, the fact that there is an empty tomb, changed the reality of life as we know it. It was the event that led to all of this. The reason that we do church today, the reason that we share this faith is because of an event that happened in history. And this event sparked the early church. It sparked all of this. And it's the reason we gather here today. The empty tomb matters. The empty tomb matters because it means that forgiveness is available for you and for everyone. Forgiveness is available, and John's gospel, if you read through it, he paints Jesus as the Lamb of God who died to take away the sins of the world. And if you read back into the Old Testament, you know, a lamb would be sacrificed in place. See, the Bible says all have sinned and all have fallen short. You and I, we both fall short of God's standard. And you know, a lamb was meant to die in our place, and see, Jesus has taken that place. And the empty tomb matters because forgiveness is available. It means my sin, my shame, my guilt, everything that separates me from God is done. It's paid for. Romans 8 verse 1 says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And you know, you might be thinking, yes, I believe in Jesus. Yes, I follow Jesus. But you know, I've done a bunch of things. I've said a bunch of things. I've looked at a bunch of things. I've done things that I'm not supposed to do. And I feel distant. I feel separated from God. Well, and you might be thinking, well, I need to make it up. And once I make it up, you know, once I do these things and I make up for those bad things, then I'll be right with God. I'll be okay with God. And I can come before God. Well, I just need to tell you, you know, that's not the way it works. You know, why insist on paying for what Jesus already purchased? The empty tomb matters because it tells me that I am loved beyond all measure. It tells me that there is hope. It tells me that life is worth it. It tells me that Jesus cares. The empty tomb tells me that Jesus has the victory over death, that Jesus has the authority over death, over sin. And these powers have no control over me. So sin, shame, guilt, condemnation, these things that try to persuade me and make me think otherwise, to make me think I'm not good enough, that I'm separated from God and God doesn't love me. Hey, these things are gone. They have no authority. They have no power over my life. The empty tomb matters. Who we were before has no bearing over who we are now. We are God's children, wholly forgiven, covered by grace, empowered to do great works for His glory. We are free to live bold, abundant lives, knowing no matter what comes here on earth, we will live forever in God's presence and the community of His family. It tells me that there is hope and that there is assurance and that earth is only a temporary home, that this is not all there is. That there is hope beyond all of this. The empty tomb matters because Jesus displayed His ultimate victory over death, proving that its power is nothing in comparison to His. The empty tomb matters. I just want to look at two verses. Romans 8:11 says, "The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He'll give life to your mortal bodies by His same Spirit living within you." That same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is now available to you and I in it. And it can allow us to live with boldness, to live with assurance, to live with hope each and every day. Well, Hebrews 4 also paints a powerful picture. It says, Hebrews 4, starting in verse 15, "This high priest of ours understands our weakness, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So come, let us come boldly to the throne of gracious God. There we will receive His mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." This verse, this passage tells me that Jesus understands our weakness. He understands our pain. He understands our emotion. He experienced it all. And He has authority over it. He has conquered it and He has shown and proven a better way. Jesus is with us, He gets it, He relates to us, and He feels what we feel. The empty tomb matters because it changes everything. It means that I can step before God with boldness. It gives me confidence to face each day. It gives me hope. It gives me a positive outlook. And see, positivity doesn't mean that I'm happy in every situation, but rather it reminds me that even on the bad days, that there is hope beyond this day, that there is hope beyond tomorrow, and it gives me confidence to face each and every day. The empty tomb matters. And so I want to ask you that question. Why does the empty tomb matter to you? Why does the resurrection of Jesus matter to you? Why is the fact that you know, He is risen, we got it written up here on the board, why does any of that matter to you? Reflect on that question. The empty tomb matters because. And see, I've asked a few of you at church to respond to that question, and we're going to show a few short clips now of why the empty tomb matters to some of us.
Why empty tomb matters to us? It matters to me because it highlights that He's alive and there is hope for us on this earth.
For me, it matters because it gives me hope, but particularly what I mean by that is that we are going to see the people who have passed. So we are going to see everybody again.
I agree with both.
The empty tomb matters to me because risen Jesus is a proof of the fact that death and its designer, and our enemy has lost mandate to rule over me. Therefore, death is a passing event, and that is really great news.
The reason why the empty tomb is important to me is that it's the evidence that Jesus has overcome. He has overcome sin, and it's not only that he's overcome it, but that this is also available to us. But I think what gets me even more than that is that there's a tomb to begin with. It really talks about God's mercy and God's love. It shows that God didn't leave us to what we deserved, but instead he took the responsibility on himself, and he didn't send somebody else to take care of the dirty business for him. He himself, the Almighty God, came down and humbled himself. And so for me, the empty tomb really means victory, and it's something that I can praise God for.
The empty tomb matters to me because without faith in Christ risen, Christianity itself and faith itself would be a pointless lie.
The empty tomb is a promise. Promise that one day all the struggles, all the issues, all the anguish will be forgotten, not even thought about, just because God himself became human being. And the peacemaker became the ultimate victor. That's a great consolation for me.
Empty tomb matters to me because it shows me the kind of God we follow and how powerful he is, that he can't even be chained by death and that he's the living God.
And it matters to me because through Christ's resurrection, it shows me how much power he actually has and what he will do for us in the second coming.
I just want to say, hey, those are some beautiful thoughts there. I've loved what you guys have shared. It's a beautiful picture of why the empty tomb matters. And I got a few thoughts and comments from some of my friends. One person said, it reassures me that the promise of eternal life stands because his resurrection legitimizes his authority over death. Or it reminds me that disappointment is not the end, but in fact, his appointment for me to hope again. And I love that, you know, on that day there was, and during this time, there was so much doubt and disappointment in the minds of the disciple. But it was an opportunity for them, when Jesus showed that, it was an opportunity for them to hope again. And see, we might be facing situations where there's hopelessness, where there's loss, where there's fear, where there's anxiety, where there's doubt. And the resurrection, the empty tomb, gives us reason to hope again, to look beyond and to know that there's encouragement in all of that. Or, as one song lyric says, it says that if Jesus left the grave behind him, then so can I. There's nothing holding me back from the God. There's no sin, shame, guilt, separation that can stop me. And so those things are not going to hold me back. And if Jesus left the grave behind him, so can I. Why does the empty tomb matter? And I just want to share a few quotes from some theologians who say, you know, N.T. Wright says, the message of Easter is that God's new world has been unveiled in Jesus, and now you're invited to belong in it. This message of hope is open and extended to each and every person. Basil Hume says, the gift of Easter is hope, Christian hope, which makes us have confidence in God, in his ultimate triumph, and in his goodness and love, which nothing can shake. Well, Ravi Zacharias says, outside of the cross of Jesus Christ, there is no hope in this world. The cross and resurrection at the core of the gospel is the only hope for humanity. Wherever you go, ask God for wisdom on how to get that gospel in, even in the toughest of situations. Let the message of the life, death, and resurrection change everything you know about life. It gave the early followers hope in the midst of everything they went through. It has given every generation of believers hope in the midst of hardship. Allow it to give you hope in the middle of all of this. And so I want to encourage you this weekend to listen to some powerful songs about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, about the message of Easter. Listen to some songs like Man of Sorrow, or Because He Lives, or What a Beautiful Name. Listen to some of these songs. Sit down, close your eyes, reflect, listen, remember, and carry with you hope. So I want to encourage you, yes, we have an empty church building, we have an empty tomb, but but we still have good news. And this is good news for you and I, and it's good news that we can share with other people. Let the empty tomb, let the resurrection reframe the way you think and you feel about everything. Let it give you hope today. So let me just pray for you. Dear Jesus, I want to thank you so much for this message. I want to thank you the fact that 2,000 years ago you lived, died, and came back to life. And you have authority over sin, you have authority over death. And so I just want to pray for each and every person that whatever they may be facing, whatever they may be going through, Lord, that you make yourself so real and so present to them. I thank you for everything you've done, everything you're going to do. I thank you that your grace is sufficient for us. And so I pray that it gives us hope and it gives us assurance and it gives us boldness and it reframes the way we think and we feel about everything. So I want to leave everything in your hands, Jesus. I can't wait to hear the stories that come out of this. Thank you. We love you. Amen. Hey, thank you so much for tuning in. Till next time. See you later.